We are in the midst of a study of agape love from 1 Corinthians 13. And we have seen that love is patient and love is kind. And today in class, we plan to see that love does not envy and it does not boast. I want to read you from William Barclay's definition and explanation of this word zelo, for envy. Love does not envy, it is not jealous, it does not have feelings against others because of what they have, such as gifts, position, friends, recognition, possessions, popularity, or abilities. Love does not begrudge or attack or downplay the abilities and successes of others. Rather, love shares, enjoys, and rejoices in the experience and good of others. Jealousy, and we'll talk about it as we begin our sermon, has been called a green-eyed monster. It's a green-eyed monster because it's envious of what others have. It's very self-centered. It makes someone very miserable. It's also can be mean-spirited, depending on how it's acted out. An explanation, I suppose, a jealous person cannot enjoy his food if someone else has tastier food. He can't enjoy his possessions if another person has more. He can't enjoy success of a companion if they're more successful. And there's several passages and stories in the Old Testament especially that let envy or jealousy play out. One writer suggested that Eve was jealous of God, envious of God. And if eating of that tree of knowledge of good and evil would make them like God, and Satan suggested to Eve that it could, she was envious of that. And it may have been a motivation for taking a bite of that forbidden fruit. When you look at Genesis 4, the story of Cain and Abel, Cain was envious of what Abel received from God. He received God's approval, and Cain was envious, turned to anger, eventually to murder. So again, jealousy or envy was a part of that. Certainly the story of Joseph. One of the things we learn from the story of Joseph as a father is don't show favoritisms. Treat them all the same, even if one is easier to raise. I know a father has a special relationship with the daughter and the son, but you need to be certain not to play favoritism towards your children because it creates a jealousy that is not a good thing. Proverbs 14, verse 30, the King James uses a very strong word. It says that envy rottens the bones. It calls the bones to rot. That's a metaphor, of course, but it's not a good thing. I want you to turn with me to Matthew 28, and I want you to see something there, actually 27. 27, verse 18. Mark 15, verse 10 says the same thing. Matthew and Mark give us an insight into the Pharisees and why they wanted to get rid of Jesus. Matthew 27, verse 18. For he knew that it was out of envy that they had delivered him up. They envied Jesus. And again, Mark 15, verse 10 says the same thing. They envied Jesus. Now, what did they envy? What do we know from his ministry? Tom? Yeah, they envied the influence, popularity, another possible word. Mike, another idea, or was that your thought? Yeah. Even if they didn't want to admit it, there's some things they could not just dismiss. And they were envious of him. Jealous is the same word there. John, did you have a different thought? Yeah. They wanted what Jesus had. Now, again, as we look at Barclay's comments, someone who is jealous or envious, they can't be satisfied with what they have because someone else has more. What did Jesus have more of that the Pharisees did not have? Each of those things. Did they have a following? Did they have people loyal to them? Did they have people that appreciated them? All of those things were true. But they envied Jesus and wanted to get rid of him. Matthew 27, Mark 15 tell us. Lindita? There something before God? I missed the middle part. His relationship with God. I think so. Yes, Pete? His knowledge of the Word. They would twist it or use it for themselves. But he was very, very attuned to speaking God's will, to being certain that his words were God's words. Terry? His authority. A list of things. What can envy or jealousy cause someone to do? Wanting to get rid of someone. Just dismiss them. Now, is it possible to dismiss someone and they're still in your congregation? You don't let them have an influence over you. You don't let them have any bearing on your thinking if you've dismissed them out of envy or jealousy. You won't add to what you perceive is popularity. Well, I don't have it, but at least he's not going to know that I like him. You have dismissed that person, even though he may still be in your midst. I think the Pharisees did some of that. I think they tended to dismiss him, even though he certainly was still in their area of geography. So that's the difficulty of envy and jealousy. Asaph, in Psalm 73, confesses his jealousy of his fellow Israelites. Haman is jealous of Mordecai's success in Esther 6, and he convinces the king to do something that he perceived will get rid of him, and it cost him his life eventually. Over and over, an interesting statement is in John 21. I'm not sure I would have put it in this category, but yet the more I thought about it, it certainly could be on the edge of what's being talked about. Jesus is talking here with his disciples. He's given the leader of the group, Peter, a chance to confess him three times, as he has denied him three times. He tells him that he's going to eventually die a martyrdom death at the close or the beginning of the close of the chapter. Uh, I'm looking to see verse 22 tells us a little bit between Peter and John. Peter turned and saw the disciple, verse 20, whom Jesus loved, following him. The one who also had leaned his back against him during the supper and had said, "Lord, who is it that is going to betray you?" And Peter saw him and said to Jesus, "Lord, what about this man?" And Jesus said to him, "If it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me." And so the saying spread abroad among the brothers that this disciple was not to die. Yet Jesus did not say to him, "This disciple was not to die, but if it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you?" It seems to suggest an envy or jealousy on the part of Peter toward the relationship God had with John, the apostle whom he loved. And of course, who's telling us this story? The apostle Jesus loved, John, is the author of this book. So it points to, if you will, a little bit of jealousy or envy on this occasion. Let me read you a couple of statements that help us to see it, perhaps. Psalm 7, verses 1, "Do not be jealous." And verse 3, "Trust the Lord and do good." Don't let your mind go toward jealousy or envy. Just trust the Lord and do good. Proverbs 27, verse 4. "Anger is cruel and destroys like a flood, but no one can put up with jealousy." Proverbs 14:30, we quoted it briefly earlier, "Peace of mind means a healthy body, but jealousy will rot your bones." Now, what's it describing there? Obviously not a literal rotting of bones. Our calcium and the things we take can take care of that. But what's it suggesting to us? George?
Well, it just means it just been there, done that, and it just kind of eats away. It just kind of gnaws at you, and it just doesn't go away. It's chronic, in other words.
So. Yeah, it hurts from the inside out. And George used several other words that could also be saying the same thing. It just hurts on the inside when you're jealous towards someone. Perhaps one of the reasonings is if we're Christians with the Spirit of God dwelling within us and our body is the temple of God, it should not be acting that way. And so the body is rebelling, if you will, metaphorically, against your being jealous or envious, perhaps. Terry, do you have?
It eats away the inner structure that holds you up.
It eats away the inner structure that holds you up. And that, of course, goes to the medical idea, perhaps. Tom?
So my dad taught me a very simple test to tell whether you have a problem in this area. It was this: when you hear something good or positive happen to people, what is your first reaction?
Yes.
Is it to rejoice? Is it to be glad for them? Or is it, "Oh, that shouldn't be me. Why wouldn't that be?" He said, yeah,
I'm not telling you something you don't know. Your dad is very wise. And we're not to keep a record of wrongs. Agape tells us that later. We'll see it in a couple of weeks. But we're also to rejoice with those who rejoice. Agape rejoices. But that's a good test. When an announcement is made and someone is given a claim, they've been given a promotion, you're sharing good news about someone else, you're thinking, wait a minute, where is my acclaim? I got something similar to that too. Why don't you share that with someone? You resent others getting a focus, saying the same thing, slightly different. When we were in Florida, it took us 3 years to build a new building on the west end of Broward County. Way too long, and about $60,000 to $80,000 spent that should not have been necessary. But when we made the move, good things happened. It was a good place to be, and good things happened. And one of the couples from Ohio who would come spend a week with us during the winter, they had a son who lived in the area, approached me by phone and says, is there a chance? I'm thinking about retirement, moving to that area to be closer to our son. Is there a possibility that I could work part-time at West Broward? I said, if you'll wait about 7 weeks, I think yes. Some things were happening, and I saw it as a possibility. 7 weeks later, the conversation was had, and he semi-retired, moved to South Florida, began working part-time with the West Broward Church of Christ, and he left Canton, where he had been for 37 years. I told him about a month later, in a Monday morning staff meeting, when you came here, I watched me to see my reaction. I felt like I knew myself. I thought I was going to be okay. And by the way, I am. But I was wondering, am I going to be jealous of you? 38 years experience, success everywhere you've been, wonderful reputation in a number of places. And I'm thankful to say the green-eyed monster did not rear itself up. And we all had a good laugh. But you don't know, do you, sometimes, what's going to be your response when good news is announced about someone else? When someone else has more popularity, authority, praise, whatever it is. I can't be happy with what I have because someone else has something better or more plenteous or whatever Barclay said to us. The Jews used one word for jealousy, quanan, Hebrew word, quanan. It meant to be intensely red. If we use the modern phraseology, a green-eyed monster, quanan could have meant intensely green, green with envy. But that word to them meant intensely red. Let me ask you, have you seen such envy? Have you ever been red-faced, jealous? Are you acquainted with the crimson forehead and the bulging veins? When someone else gets something you wanted, you should have had, they got something and you cannot be happy for them, then you have envy or jealousy. Here's a statement, and we'll move to Facebook envy. God withholds what we desire in order to give us what we need. You desire a spouse, He gives you Himself. You seek a larger church, He prefers a stronger church. You want to be healed so you can serve. He wants you confined so you can pray. Such is the testimony of Joni Erickson Tada. 3 decades after a diving accident rendered her a quadriplegic, she and her husband visited Jerusalem. Sitting in her wheelchair, she remembered the story of the paralytic Jesus healed at the pool of Bethsaida. 30 years earlier, she had read the account and asked Jesus to do the same for her. That day in Jerusalem, she thanked God that he had answered a higher prayer. Joni now sees her chair as her prayer bench, and her affliction as her blessing. Had he healed her legs, thousands of prayer would have been sacrificed to her busy life. She sees that now. She accepts that now. Jealousy was eclipsed by gratitude as she surrendered her will to his will. Now, this makes jealousy and envy very current and modern. How many likes have you received lately if you're in social media? How many clicks? How many friends? How many streaming numbers? It's a real thing in some people's mind, and it's called Facebook envy. Facebook envy. I don't know what they're talking about, because I have no clue about those numbers. I'm not sure where to go and look, but I'm involved in social media. But it's something that is an issue with some people. Charles Allen, and we'll close, maybe one other short comment. Charles Allen, in The Miracle of Love, writes about a fisherman friend who told him that you never need to worry about getting at the top if you think like a crab. Now, let that sink in for a moment. That could have a dual meaning. Think like a crab. If one of the crabs starts to climb up the side of the basket, the other crabs will reach up and pull it down. Some people are like a crab. They won't let other people be lifted up. And that's a true story, from what I understand, and it certainly has a real meaning. How do you deal with it? A couple of comments before we go. Sten, go ahead. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, the cancel culture and the social media, they're certainly in opposite in most cases, but certainly realistic. Theris, you had a comment? Speak up so we can hear. Uh-oh. I missed the second word. We will talk about it in the sermon. Guess what? We will talk about it in the morning sermon. Mike?
Well, I was stuck back there with when Jesus, back in John.
John and Peter?
Even with Jesus, he's the master communicator. He doesn't make any mistakes in communication, but still rumors got started.
Yeah. Yeah.
Misunderstanding.
Yeah. If I want him to live forever, he will. What's it to you? Did Jesus say he's going to live forever? No, that's not the point. The point is, Peter, take care of you. And what had he just told Peter to do? Feed my sheep, feed my sheep, feed my sheep. As he affirmed his love to him. Peter, you've got a mission. You're going to be busy. And he did, and he was. But, yes. How do we deal with this tendency to be envious rather than loving? We should humbly acknowledge its possibility or its tendency. Do you feel that envy rise within you, or jealousy from time to time. Acknowledge that and don't let it continue. Acknowledge the possibility. Second, focus on the true spirit and intent of your direction, your mandate, your personhood, if you will. Focus on you. What does God have for you to do? Consider the example of Christ. He made himself poor, humbling himself, and he made me rich. He makes others rich. I told Mike yesterday, I'm sure you have too, he did such a good job yesterday. He let us see Jack Lewis when especially you read about servanthood, becoming last so you can become first. And that's what Jesus did. And that's the example we have. The fourth point, you should attack the tree at the root level. What's at the root of sin, and especially envy and jealousy? Pride. Pride is the root cause of most sin. So cut it at the root. Take care of it at the root. And think of envy as a caterpillar and as a cancer. Edwards, in his book Charity, said, "The envious person to a caterpillar that delights in devouring the most flourishing plants and trees." I think that's true. And the consequence is it retards the prosperity by wasting energy in quarrels and dissensions, as you would apply it to the person and a group and what it diminishes. Anything before we leave jealousy and envy in class? Comments or questions? What's the other side of the coin? Guess what? It's in the list. Yeah.
And even the younger ones who are coming back now, they think that's something in common. It's a humility because you know you're just thankful to be alive.
Yeah. Yeah. I got up this morning. I'm awake. And those in the military, of course, remembering so many that did not. And sometimes under your command or serving alongside. But yes. The other side, agape does not envy, it's not jealous, but it also does not boast. It does not boast. Barclay says, love does not vaunt itself. And that's the rendering from the exact Greek word that I cannot pronounce. It is not boastful. It does not brag. It doesn't seek recognition or honor. It doesn't seek applause from others. On the contrary, agape seeks to give, recognize, honor, and to applaud the other person. So it's just the opposite, isn't it? My mom told us, as her nine children, many times, I guess she needed to, I don't know, "Gary, don't talk about yourself. If you've done something, let other people say it." Now think about that. Let other people say it. Speak to you as far as what they would feel about you, your talent, whatever it might be. Let other people, don't brag, don't boast, don't seek attention, for yourself, agape would say. At Corinth, one of their great concerns is those gifts, miraculous in nature. Some of them wanted to put themselves up above others as if to say, I have one of the big gifts. I have one of the biggies. And he was trying to bring them down. You have what God gave you. Use it in service to others and to God. But you have what God gave you. Don't wish for someone else's gift, but also appreciate what you have. And don't seek after the other. One writer that I have come to appreciate much of what he writes, though I have major doctrinal differences with him, so as a result, I tend not to mention his name. I don't want you to close your mind because of the doctrinal issues without benefiting some of the good things that he expresses himself in. It's the concept of pecking order. He writes about pecking order. And he looked at the etymology of it, and it came from Norwegian naturalist, he said. And it's a study of barnyard caste systems. And the reality is there is a pecking order. And sometimes the pecking order was to put someone in their place. In the real world, the animal kingdom, the weak don't usually make it against the strong. That's similar, I suppose, to the pecking order. We all know about the pecking order. If you take a job and you're wanting to cover or be involved with the better assignments, and your pecking order is you're the rookie, you're brand new, who's at the top? The ones who've been there longer, the ones with seniority. The pecking order determines sometimes the assignments, and it regulates the seniority, if you will, or the promotions that come. He said, chickens teach us the pecking order, but that's not God's way. God and Jesus don't tolerate that kind of thinking. Here's the verse that he looks at to begin to make his comments from Matthew 23 beginning. The Pharisees do good things so that other people will see them. They make the boxes of scriptures that they wear, the phylacteries, bigger. And they make their special prayer clothes very long. Those Pharisees and teachers of the law love the most important seats at feast and in the synagogues. They love people to greet them with respect in the marketplaces. And they love to have people call them rabbi, teacher, if you will. Jesus blasted the Pharisees. He blasted, quote, the top birds in the church to act off of the pecking order concept. Those who roost at the top of the spiritual ladder and spread their plumes of robes and ties and jewelry and choice seats. Jesus did not stand for it, and it's easy to see why. Agape does not boast. It does not call attention to itself. It is not envy, if you will. A verse, and then we need to talk. Philippians 2, verse 3. Regard one another as more important than yourselves. Regard others as more important than yourselves. If you do that, you appreciate, as Tom's dad taught him, and we have learned that hopefully too, we rejoice when other people are attributed, promoted, brought to attention. It's not about me. It's not about me. To brag is used nowhere else in the New Testament. It means to talk conceitedly. Love does not parade its accomplishments. Bragging is the other side of jealousy. Jealousy is wanting what someone else has. Bragging is trying to make others jealous of what we have. Jealousy puts others down. Bragging builds us up. It's ironic that as much as most of us dislike bragging in others, we sometimes are inclined to brag ourselves. Yay or nay? What does bragging look like? What does it sound like? Sometimes it's easier to see in someone else. We sometimes don't see it in us. C.S. Lewis called it the utmost evil in his writings. It's one of the utmost evils, if you will. Jesus was concerned about his disciples in Matthew 10 when he was sending them out to minister among the very hurtful people. And some of them were the religious leaders. And he told them their response. You're going to be persecuted. You're going to be taken before the synagogues. You're going to be despised in communities. Some of that, part of that ministry, but much of it later in their life after he had left this earth. But he told them, you need to understand two special points. He talked about sparrows. He talked about sparrows and how a single sparrow is noticed by God. A single little bird with no value. They rarely took a sparrow to the temple. Only the poorest of people would have even considered it. You are more valuable than many sparrows. And if we don't want to take the lesson, what would be our response? Well, of course. Of course I am. But if we respond that way, we miss the whole point, don't we? If our response is, of course I'm more valuable than many sparrows, we miss the point that God notices the smallest of creatures. And He notices you who have a soul. And you don't have to do some of the things you think you have to do to get attention. God knows and God notices. That's what that sparrow comment alludes to. True humility is not thinking lowly of yourself, but thinking accurately of others and of yourself. The humble heart does not say, I can't do anything, but rather, I can't do everything. I know my part, and I'm happy to do it. Again, a strange or easy distinction of thinking. William Barclay tells a respected educator of century past, he was not so much for his success, but the way he handled that success. On one occasion, he stepped to a seat on a platform, and the public noticed who he was and began to applaud. Shocked, he turned and asked the man behind him to go ahead. And he then began to applaud the man, assuming the applause was for him. And he was very willing to share in his applause. Now that would have involved a very quick-minded person to want to be certain not to present something that he did not wish for. A very quick-thinking man. God remembers the small birds of the world. We remember the eagles. We make bronze statues of the hawk. We name athletic teams after the falcons. God notices the sparrows. He makes time for the children and takes note of the lepers. He offers the woman in adultery a second chance. And the thief on the cross receives a personal invitation. God, or rather Christ, is partial to those beaten up and done in and urges us to follow suit. When you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. Luke 14, verse 13. Very strong examples that we're given. Agape does not boast. It's not envious. It's not jealous. It knows its place. And it's a pretty good place when we're in Christ. It's a pretty good place. I'm through. I may take 2 minutes later. I'll give them to you now.